Allie like took a picture of me for something. I go, don't post that. I look terrible in that. And she's like, that's how you look. And I was like, oh, that sucks.
It stings harder when it's family. Wait.
No, I think it's a great picture.
I thought you looked skinny in this one.
That's the worst. Like, even if you're trying to make me feel better, like, are you okay? Like, why are you here?
All right, we good?
Good.
I guess.
Okay, Chris Marler. I'm going to try to read the shirt. You change every time. Louisiana Sportsnet.
Yeah, so Saturday, new job. 10th SEC Media Days, 11th job. Not a big deal.
Let me turn you down a little.
Yeah, that is bright.
There you go.
Am I going to get a tan? Am I going to be like Brent Venables after this?
What's day one media days? Anything? What's the biggest thing that's kind of stood out to you?
I thought the Ahmad Hardy thing was interesting. That was like some good news, I think.
Yeah, maybe, kind
of. As a fellow gunshot wound victim. I mean, like, all jokes aside, he brought up the fact the bullet hit the bone, which was like, I remember when I had my thing, it was like it came this far from the bone, but that would have been like a several-month process of having to like recover. So,
wait,
from
you got shot?
Yes.
I thought that was a joke.
No, I mean, it
can
wasn't.
Can we do a quick little story?
No,
he's told it on the pod.
I'll tell you afterwards. Okay. Mainly because it's not a quick story because I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
Quick when I talk, very long-winded. But if you got about 48 minutes, I'd like to tell you about my entire 2016 experience. So I thought that was interesting. I kind of expected, especially after he brought the backup running back, right? Who's like very capable back, had over 6 yards per carry last year. And that's what Missouri does, is run the football, and they do it really, really well. But I kind of thought, like, tinfoil hat, maybe that was sending a message since he's here, Ahmad's not. I thought that was great news. So hopefully he'll be back. I also thought Drinkwitz is always the best.
Yeah.
Like at the podium, he's hilarious. And I feel like every year he's got at least three or four jokes that I feel like he wrote out beforehand. He kills it every year. I mean, he could like do like a tight 10 in stand up, and I feel like it would be incredible. So I thought he was great. Will Stein was one of the best, I think, high school valedictorian speeches I've ever heard. That was fun. it was kind of like, you know, he's 36, which sucks. That's tough to hear.
That's a tough.
Yeah. So he got up there, and he was like noticeably nervous and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I think there's something to be said for like anyone that takes over a program, like when they either played there or when they are like grew up as a fan there. Like, you look at like the track record of, like, it doesn't translate to like wins every time, right? But like Kirby Smart, Ed Orgeron, two pretty good examples. I don't think Kentucky's gonna win a national title, but you could tell it really means a lot to him.
Year two, they win it.
Yeah, year two, Kentucky national champs. I mean, I also think they have like the most mysterious team because they have so many great pickups in the portal. So it'll just be really interesting. I think the confidence he has in himself was, I mean, that was like palpable. I think Kenny Minchie is awesome. But yeah, outside of that, Heupel was Heupel. I mean, like really, really good. Somebody asked him about Vandy and he very, very, organically said, yeah, you can't lose to Vandy. You don't want to lose to Vandy, which I thought was really good life advice for a lot of people. So,
you know, it's funny. We've been talking to a lot of Ole Miss, you know, here lately, and it feels like, I mean, obviously they hate Lane Kiffin and stuff, but I feel like you hit a home run here, you know?
Yeah.
What does it feel like knowing that Lane Kiffin's a guy you're going to cover moving forward?
Dude, like, what a year to move to Baton Rouge.
Yeah, right?
I'm trying to think if there's
What could go wrong?
What could ever go wrong there? I also, like, let's look at the track record of the teams that I cover. If you want me to, like, poison the well for your biggest rival, I cover South Carolina and LSU, and it has not been great. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I think what's interesting, too, is that he's not like this – he's funny on social media. I don't think he's like this, like, great interview. He's not super willing to talk about a lot of stuff or answer a lot of stuff. He's willing to talk about a lot of stuff. But, like, answering the actual questions, it'll be fascinating to watch. I don't think it's going to fail. I know you do. I think, like, a lot of people are – you know, you have, like, valid concerns. But I think also, like, you watch what he built at Ole Miss, and it was like they had the 10-win season 2023. 2024, I thought they would have had the best chance of anyone in the SEC to, like, make a run in the playoff, just the way they were built. They couldn't beat Florida, which is tough to do. And then last year they were 11-1. So it's like I feel like he has kind of turned a corner professionally. I don't know if personally, like, kind of reverting back to him being the bad guy again, like in the villain role, if that's a place he's going to thrive. Because he's always been a really good offensive coach. But, like, he got in his own way, I think, a lot when he was in that villain role. And he, like, kind of, you know, he's okay with being that, I guess. But I don't – like, we saw him kind of transform, at least we thought, right, into this, like, brand-new person. And everyone loved him for, like, you know, until – those cute blue jerseys were great. He started doing yoga. He kind of had a dog. I don't know if it was his dog.
Definitely not.
Fair. But so it's like we all became a fan of his, right? And then now the way he left, it was, I mean.
And you just said something, though. I want to, I don't know if call out is the right word, but you said I'm picking him to fail. I'm picking him sixth in the conference, which means probably like nine to eight wins.
Oh, that's not as bad. The way you described it, I thought it was worse.
But again, I think you're right. I think locally, if they go 8-4, I think people will be like, geez, we failed this year.
Yeah,
I would agree. Isn't that wild to step into that?
Not really. I mean, like again, this is not, like, in this day and age, this is not some kind of, like, slow burn or, like, process of, like, you've got to start, like, getting people to buy in and blah, blah, blah. It's like, if they don't buy in, see you later, get someone else, and, like, you can go to the portal. Kurt Cignetti ruined this for everybody. Like, he took the he played a video game in real life. It was like, you took the worst program ever. And they went 16-0. Not like we're good, 16-0. And so I think Kiffin, man, if you gave him $43 million for a roster and like a $91 million contract and a $40,000 free trip to Boca Raton on that private jet, big story the other day. I mean, like the schedule I don't think is that bad. So if you go 8-4, I think that'd be bad.
Hey, Will, speaking of one of the many other jobs you have, Locked On Gamecocks, almost everybody we've talked to here, they only have two opinions of Carolina.
They're both great.
They're going to be a lot better and like a team to watch, or it's going to be a spectacular failure and everyone's getting fired.
Well, those are pretty much the opposite ends of the spectrum there. It's like
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Well, you know, which one or where are you at with those? If one was going to happen.
I think they're going to be a big success this year. Like, one, we've seen this, like, roller coaster that, mm-hmm. that Shane Beamer goes on.
It's an even year.
Should be back up in this year. I just think that, like, the problems you had in the offense last year with, like if you objectively look at the offense and the team a year ago, I was very big on, like, oh, man, listen, they've got Lenore Sellers who could potentially be a first-round pick, and you've got Dylan Stewart. You might have, arguably, like, the highest ceiling offensive player and defensive player in the country. Like, you could make the argument going into last year. That argument is not allowed to be made anymore because of what we saw on the field. But outside of that, it was like duct tape and those two. And like, Mike Shula was horrible as the OC. The offensive line's been bad every year. But I always say, like, you can't be bad and injured. Be one or the other. You cannot be both. And they were both. And it was horrible last year. I love what they did in the portal, the offensive line position. Jakarius Peak is a top 10 player in the portal. Should be a first-round pick. I think the floor has been raised a lot with the skill position, like what you brought in at running back with Christian Clark, you get Matthew Fuller back. The receivers that you have, like Nick Harbor, I think he will finally have some help. Like the young receivers you brought in from the recruiting classes are finally a little bit older. Nitro Tuggle steps in. I mean, they have addressed all of their flaws, like, pretty directly, I think. And then you look at the defense. I think they're going to have one of the best defensive lines in the country, not just the conference. Like the interior defensive line is very deep. Very talented, and then you have Dylan Stewart on one side. You got a five-star freshman on the other side. It's built very similar to what we saw in 2024. Like, just it's constructed very similar. All the linebackers come back, and then you look at the secondary, and it's like there's some new starters and some question marks. But like the combination of Clayton White as the DC and Torian Gray as the defensive backs coach, they put 8 DBs in the league in the last 6 years. Like they have a proven track record. They forced more turnovers than anyone else in the SEC over the last 5 years with 110. Like, I think those are things that are going to continue to happen because they happen every year with them. Can you figure out a way to not – I don't know. I mean, like, can you figure out a way to not have so many negative plays? Can you find – like, I did a deep dive on this today, and it was, like, so depressing. It was – they had, I think, 34% of their total third downs last year. Their total third downs were 3rd and 10 or longer. And that was, like, 55 total in the year. They converted 7 of them, which is not great. So I think there's so many things they're going to improve on. I think the talent on the roster, it's the most talent they've had probably since the 2013 team. They've got 5 of their top 11 all-time recruits, like highest ranked recruits, are all on this year's team. There's no excuse to lose this year. And also, The schedule is always difficult for South Carolina. I think this is the easiest schedule they've had in a decade. I mean, like, you, I know you get Georgia and Clemson back to back. 7 out of your 10 Power Four opponents will have a first year starter at quarterback. Like, there's a lot of advantages they have in matchups and stuff like that against the teams they're going to play.
Yeah, I feel like we were doing it optimistically as a South Carolina fan, and I was like, dude, if they hit this September rolling, they can get some serious momentum going into October. Cocktober.
I think it's like a cop-out what you said about the, like, if you have like, it could be horrible or it could be really good. It's like, yes, that's how most things are. But I also think that, like, it's probably pretty fair to say that if there's any month where that was in play, it's September. Because, like, you look at it, I'm like, I think they can be 5-0 after the Kentucky game. Like, they should have beaten Bama for the last 2 years, especially last year. And I know it's on the road and all that kind of stuff, but Bama's got a lot of question marks. I don't think – I mean, they are
– a lot.
I keep saying
– 4 loss to Boer.
I keep saying that, like, my wedding weight goal, like, my goal weight is to be as thin as Alabama's trenches this year. It's like – it's not good. And so, I mean, I think they could win that. I also – I could easily see Mississippi State, Bama, and maybe Kentucky beating them in just, like, the most, you know, annual Gamecock misery – imaginable. I think they're going to be very good. I think they're going to get to that A&M game by with one loss or two losses at most.
What do you, Briles? I mean, what does he do? I mean, let me ask you this, because there was a lot of coaching hires that happened, and Briles is definitely one I felt like moved the needle. But what do you think about that relationship with him and Lenoris, and what this offense is going to look like?
The thing I love most about it is that it's not Mike Shula, which is a pretty great thing to have. So the big thing with him is, like, you know, you look at Shula and it's like, man, he's got 40 years of coaching experience. Like, that's like, you know, what an incredible resume and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, but if you have all that, you also probably have some common sense and some understanding. Be like, that guy is good at a few things. We should highlight those. So, like, how does Lenora Sellers have 1.8 yards per carry last year? Like, that's, I mean, insane to me. I think the thing with Briles is like what you see with a lot of new offenses and coordinators, which is, hey, here's my entire playbook. Like, what do I have? Like, what can I draw up that is catered to your skill set? And when you have a guy like Lenore Sellers who has, like, a lot of really elite skills and some other things he could improve on, it's probably best to not have him come up to the line trying to read a defense behind an offensive line that's non-existent. I mean, like, what a dumb process if you think about it. Like, coming up to the line, like, against elite SEC defenses, being like, 52 is the mic. I know that because he just tackled me like 18 times in this game. I think that Briles also, an underrated part of that hire, he came over with Randy Clements, the offensive line coach. And so there's a little bit of continuity there where they've already worked together. And then, again, I'm really big into the whole track record thing. And you look at, like, I think it was Gamecock Central did a great article the other day about South Carolina, how good they are and how much they win when they gain 400 yards. Now, you guys are Tennessee guys, so, like, that's not a thing that's very difficult. South Carolina has only done that 15 times against SEC teams under Shane Beamer. They are 20-3 when they gain 400 yards, which I did not think would be that difficult to do. but so they're 20-3 when they do that. Like, Briles' offenses do that, like, you know, all the time, whether it's at TCU. And you could talk to me about the TCU – you know, situation not being as relevant because it's the Big 12, but he did the same thing at Arkansas with KJ Jefferson and how good that offense was. And I think what excites me the most is I don't think Briles is, like, going to be like a Lane Kiffin or Charlie Weiss Jr. thing where, like, every single year you're in the top 10. But his first year at a lot of these places, like, the improvement, which is impossible to not do with how bad South Carolina was last year, the jump you make in year one has been remarkable. And I think this is the year where you kind of have to go all in on it because of the talent you have on this team that's going to be gone after this year of the draft.
First year head coach, first time in the SEC, so we're eliminating Kiffin. Who has the best season? So we're talking Golish, Summerall, Stein, Silverfield, Silver, whatever you call
I'm
him.
Not that guy.
And we could throw, is it easy to say Golding, you think?
I mean, yes and no. I like Golish. I think I like Golish, like, the upside of him this year probably more than the other ones, especially Springfield, Rick Springfield. I mean, that guy, I need him to change his name. Just go by Smith or something. I have not said his name correctly once. You could put Giannis, whatever his last name is, or that guy side by side, I would get it'd be the same level of accuracy.
I've changed it so many times, yeah. I don't know the origin now.
I called him Alex Springfield in an actual article that made it to the light of day, which means also everyone else didn't know. So it's not him. I think you could sell me, obviously, on Golding. I think he's got a really talented roster. I don't think that they're going to be nearly as good without Kiffin and Weiss and you know, Kevin Smith and, like,
do you know there's a man behind you right now, Brett Northworthy? He's picking Ole Miss to win the national championship.
In what sport?
Football.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Sure.
And the other one hates kickers. I'll let you guess which one it is.
That's a tough sell for me. I think they're a very talented roster. I don't think they're going to beat LSU at home. I think that Florida game the week after is a very dangerous game for them.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I keep going back to. All the talent is there, and like, but it's Trinidad and Keyon Lacey. I mean, after that, it's not like there isn't talent, but it's like it's not that.
Really good on the defensive front seven.
Sure. And I've watched Pete Golding's defenses when he had way better pieces around him. And I'm not saying that, like, to be negative about him, but, like, he's not – an elite defensive coordinator. He's a good defensive coordinator.
He's got more playoff wins.
I know
than
you
the
say it all the time
at totally, Alabama.
That's great. That's awesome. Also, he also dropped Will Anderson in coverage on third downs when he was at Alabama, which is certainly a choice. I think the thing with them is every first year head coach in like at a new spot in the SEC has these issues. Every like almost to a man. Saban did it. First year, right, you lose the losing in a row, but people don't remember that he also lost four in a row in November, right? Kirby Smart, I mean, like, think about the decision he made in that Vanderbilt game. They lost to Vandy, Tennessee, Georgia Tech, Florida, and Ole Miss. They lost to Vandy because it was fourth and one, and with Sony Michel and Nick Chubb in the backfield, he ran a jet sweep to a receiver. So it's like there's just things that I think you don't know until you know, and you get that through experience. I think the two playoff wins were great. I don't know how long that chip on the shoulder is going to last for them or how long you can use that for. They definitely had it last year. I don't see them winning more than one of the four games that they're probably not supposed to win. Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas, LSU. I think they lose three of those at least. And then you look at the rest of the schedule and it's like, well, are they going to get through the rest of the schedule unscathed? Because that's tough to do. Like, now the future of that program, I am all in on Golding. Like, I think Golding is – I think he might be a better head coach than a coordinator because he gets the CEO part, the recruiting stuff that he's – like the way he's gone about all of that and building this thing, he is purely focused on football, which is a breath of fresh air. Doesn't do yoga, so he's got at least an extra 30 minutes in the morning. I think he's going to be great in the future. I don't think this year, though.
Well, I want to talk about two games in particular, two home games. Tennessee and Texas A&M, which one is South Carolina more likely to destroy?
Do you know that they played Tennessee a couple years ago in 2022?
Are you going to talk about the damn fireworks again?
They put sand on the field. They try to slow down that offense. That's tough, man. You want to say A&M, and then you say that out loud, and you remember what happened last year, and it's so disheartening. I think that the Tennessee game, they match up worse with. Like, Tennessee's offensive line is, I think, the best in the SEC. They've got two receivers. Don't, okay.
Keep going, keep going.
I'm so close. So they have two 800-yard receivers and the highest-ranked receiver recruit in program history, 1,000-yard rusher for the first time since 2016. And, again, Heupel's track record with a first-year quarterback – I was going to bring it up to him, and he went into it before anyone could ask the questions, and he was like, this is our fifth straight year with a new quarterback. In 7 of my 9 years as a head coach, we've had a new first-year starter. We finished in the top 10 in 7 of those 9 years, like in scoring offense. I'm not worried about that. So the way you match up with a team like that, like, I mean, there's so many weapons for Tennessee. Their front four on defense is going to be a concern. But, I mean, let's face it, South Carolina's offensive line is also a concern. A&M replaces 4 out of 5 offensive linemen. They lose a first-round receiver or first-round pick at receiver, and they lost their offensive coordinator. And also, Marcel Reed is Marcel Reed. So, is it unthinkable that they could come into Williams-Brice as a top-10 team and lose? Because I feel like we saw that before. like 2 years ago, and it was glorious. So
that place almost fell apart, man, after that intersection.
That's mainly because the foundation of it.
Which yeah, they have addressed this off season.
I don't think that thing's not going to be done. I love that this is like the new like thing for SEC stadiums where it's like, we're going to do some renovations. And you know what? It doesn't matter if it's ready for the season. Vandy had just a hanging scoreboard. Just like, that was incredible.
Hey, this week of all our coverage is brought to you by Tennessee Legend, the best damn Tennessee whiskey you can buy. Yeah. They've sent you. Did they send it to you?
Yeah, and I had to explain that to Allie because she didn't. She was like, "What is this Tyrannosaurus Rex?" It's like, is it vodka or what? It's like, don't even ask, just drink it. That's
so
awesome!
Shout out Tennessee Legend. Mm-hmm. We're asking everybody for their Tennessee Legend boldest take at the end of the SEC season. What do you got?
I have my Twitter account. I actually get married. these are, I mean, long odds. If Brendan Sorsby was here, he would be hammering against me. Boldest take. I think two teams are going to go undefeated in the regular season. Yeah, I don't, and I hate hearing myself say it. I think Georgia and Texas, one has the easiest schedule, one has the hardest schedule. I think they're going to both go undefeated and meet in Atlanta. And play to a tie. Everyone's undefeated.
Well, that, I mean, you just kind of stole the very last question. I was going to ask Texas or Oklahoma, who's better? But so Texas?
I think Oklahoma's going to make the playoff. And I also think LSU, I think those four teams are going to be in this year.
Wait, say that again. Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma.
First of all, don't tell me what to do. You can
and
ask kindly. I'm
please?
A guest on your show. Why is he wearing a blazer?
I don't know. He's so fancy.
So uncomfortable. This is my favorite cotillion I've ever been to. I think it's Texas, and I hate to put them first because it's like I feel like they've needed to get like knocked down a peg or two.
I've heard you're a big pegger.
I'm glad you said it.
Here it goes. It's starting to unravel.
That's tough.
It's getting late.
Yeah, hold on. You get mad at my cuss words. I haven't said one cuss word this
entire time. He's doing great.
Yeah. But pegging seems way...
Yeah, that seems a little...
Way worse.
He's baiting you.
anyway, no, I think it's Texas, Georgia. I'm a big believer in Kirby Smart always. Texas, Georgia, Oklahoma, and then... Or, sorry, LSU and then Oklahoma. And I think that South Carolina is going to be in that fringe. Like, I think they're going to be 9-3 right around there. I think that... I think Tennessee is another team that could be... I mean, if they went 7-5, it wouldn't be shocking. I think they're going to be on the cusp of, like, potentially making the playoff as well. The schedule sets up well. I mean, they get a lot of their tough games at home. There's the way the schedule sets up with the 9-game conference schedule, every team has, like, a 3-4-game gauntlet that's awful. Like, almost every single team. Tennessee, I don't think they have more than back-to-back games that are, like, super daunting. So I like Tennessee.
Do you have a bumper sticker that says House Divided?
No.
South Carolina and LSU?
No. No. I've added so many teams to my collection. But like, instead of being like the usually people like that, like I always get like, oh, this guy's a Red Sox fan and grew up an Alabama fan and covers South Carolina and LSU's like, I bet he loves UConn women's basketball. And it's like, I don't know why you think I would love women's basketball. just kidding. But I think somebody brought up the other day, it was like, at least I'm not like pulling for just the winners. I'm so apparently depraved that I only am picking the ones that make like the biggest struggle. So.
All right. Thank you so much. Before you go, tell the audience how to follow you, how to find your work.
Your mom's house. Vern_Funquist on Twitter.
For now.
I had two people come up to me today, like organically, like, are you Chris Marler? And I was like, are you serving me papers? and they were like, I just want to say you're like one of my favorite followers on Twitter. And I was like, oh, wow. Oh, sorry.
Ah,
we're so close. Dang. We're so close. Shit, my bad.
Somebody wants some money.